Welcome to If Not For God, stories of hopelessness that turn to hope. Here is your host, Mike Zwick.
We have a treat for you today on If Not For God. Mike's good friend, Chuck Riesch. And Mike, I'll let you introduce him.
Yeah, Chuck is a friend of mine. We actually met on a mission trip when I was in Haiti with Raleigh First Assembly. And Chuck was actually highlighting the ministry down there with Joel June, and it's an orphanage that Joel takes kids in and stuff like that. And that's pretty much what Chuck does. He highlights other ministries in action. He's actually been here in North Carolina. He's interviewed the Piedmont Rescue Mission. His website is horizonmediastudios.com. horizonmediastudios.com or atctv.org, and it shows about what he does. But Chuck actually has a great background. He was in the United States Air Force, and when he got out of the Air Force, he was saved in July of 1999. Chuck, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so thanks for having me on, guys. You guys are amazing. Good work you're doing. Love your show.
Thank you.
Back in July 99, I was about 31 years old at that point. When I got out of the Air Force, there was no boundaries, so to speak, that there are when you're in the military, and went back to smoking pot and drinking beer on the weekends and taking some college classes. Thought I was going to be a rock star, chasing a record deal in New York when I was in my early 20s, 23 years old, got introduced to freebase cocaine by a cousin, and I was hooked immediately. So little you know, from 23 to 30, for 7 years, just selling off my music equipment, pawning everything off, lying, conniving, just to go get another crack rock. So by July 99, I was down to 141 pounds. I had found a lawyer representing all the drug dealers I had, and they didn't like to give us cash, but they gave me all the crack I wanted. So I cried out to God, hey, help me run a better law firm. I'm having a cash flow problem running this business. And four Bibles were put in my hand on July 4th weekend, 1999. And I finally, out of curiosity, opened up one of them. And it, first book of Samuel, chapter 1, verse 14, it's the only verse that jumped out at me. And it said, must you come here drunk, throw away your wine? And God flipped it on me. You're crying out to me smoking crack. How long will you smoke your crack, throw away your crack? I just got chills over my head. And every time I open the Bible, some verse would just jump out at me. It's crazy.
So when you said that, it was July 4th of 99 and four Bibles were put in your hand, and when you cried out to God right then, did you just quit smoking crack right then and there, or was it?
No, it's probably not what your listeners want to hear, but he was very patient with me. I'd smoke crack and read the Bible and have porno magazines on the other side of the hotel room. And I remember coming across Joel chapter 2, verse 25, I can restore the years the locust ate away. And I thought, wow, I've wasted 7 years of my life smoking dope. And I had a baby with a girl. I was dating strippers because they always had cash. And eventually, had a baby with one of them. She went back to my parents' house, and my daughter Valerie was just turning one on July 7th, 1999. Mm-hmm. That's why I remember the birthday. And when I opened up that book, the First Samuel chapter 1, I opened up to the front of the Bible. I was like, whose Bible is this? And it said, a gift from a friend dated July 7th, 97. My daughter was born July 7th, 98. And here it is a couple of days short of July 7th, 99. And I'm like, I think this is a sign. A couple of years ago, somebody put my daughter's birthday in the front of this book, and I found it two years later. So I'm like, so again, chills come rushing over my head. But and that Bible actually came from a drug dealer's house. His parents were ministers, but he was a prodigal son selling dope out in the streets. Somehow the house Bible landed in a box of dishes of mine got back to my studio apartment. It's just a crazy story, but God has a way of putting his word in your hand. If you want, we can even go through Psalms 107 today, and it's almost the perfect story of people who are rebellious and how all of a sudden in their brokenness they cry out to the Lord. And he delivers them, that people would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. But there's that whole Psalms 107 is kind of like, I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. But
yeah, let's pull it out, man. Do you have it?
I do. So if you go to Bible Gateway or Bible.com, everybody should have a Bible app on their phone. it's almost, and plus there's 6.5 billion copies floating around, so there should be at least 4 or 5 in your house. If you go to Psalms, a little plug for the book there.
So, there you go.
So Psalms 105, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever."
Now, you said Psalm 107 or 105?
Sorry, 107.
Okay.
Psalms 107, starting in the first verse.
Okay.
"Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south." And here's a story of homeless people. Mm. Verse 4, "They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way, and that they might go into a city for a dwelling place." Well, Piedmont Rescue Mission is a city for a dwelling place for those who need a new start. Mm. And "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works for the children of men, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." Section 2, here's addiction. Mm. Chapter 107, verse 10, "Those who sat in darkness..." I smoked crack in dark rooms, right? So "those who sat in darkness in the shadows of death, bound in affliction and irons." That sounds like addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 11, "because they rebelled against the word of God and despised the counsel of the Most High God." How many people heard, "just say no to drugs"?
Right.
That's God. That's the message from God.
Right.
Nancy Reagan didn't come up with that, right? So, anyway, so "because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High, therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help." Here's a theme, verse 13. "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Yes. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of irons in two." Another section, real quick, and then we'll let you guys talk. "Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food." I was down to 141 pounds. I didn't want to eat. I just wanted to keep smoking dope. Mm. "And they drew near the gates of death." Here's the theme. "They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses." Verse 20 right here. Bingo. "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing."
You know, one of the most powerful interviews I ever did was this lady named Shelley, and she'd been a hooker, and she ended up in a huge drug deal in Turkey and got arrested and put in a Turkish jail, if you can imagine. And she's, you know, she said that, you know, this place would be like one of the most horrific places you could possibly think of. And but she said for the first time in her life, she felt free.
Yeah.
Free from what, you know, men were demanding from her, or free from, you know, she couldn't get any drugs, and all these different things were happening. And a missionary apparently bribed a couple guards and smuggled her in an English Bible. So all that she had was, you know, that Bible. And, you know, she had a grandmother that had been praying for her, which I'm sure had a huge thing to do with it. And she says that she's writing a book right now. It's just, her name's Shelley Lang, just an amazing story. Well, she gets saved in prison, and the U.S. government makes some kind of funny deal where they're exchanging prisoners with Turkey, and she gets out. Now, she's got this Bible, and she doesn't want it to go to waste, so she stuffs it in the mattress. Now, there's only like two people who speak English in the entire prison system, right? And she sticks this English Bible in her mattress.
Uh-huh.
Well, about 3 years later, she gets a call from Turkey. Like, "Are you the Shelley Lang that was in the prison, blah, blah, blah? I got to tell you how you saved my life." Mm-hmm. "Because, you know, I was in Turkey for drugs, da-da-da-da-da, and one night I'm sleeping in my mattress and I feel this lump and I reach in and here's this Bible," right?
That's right, that's right.
And so as you were telling your story, Chuck, I couldn't help but think, in both those ladies' cases, I know they cried out in their distress, and he sent them his word. I mean, it's just a phenomenal example of what you're talking about.
So they cried out in distress, Chuck. And so, you know, out of all of our listeners, chances are there's a good number of listeners who have some sort of addiction right now. Now, it may
they
be alcohol.
One out of five people in our country are addicted to something. They say one out of five people.
One out of five people are addicted to something.
Yeah. Oh, I would say five out of five. Yeah. That's crazy. Because, you know, when you think of all the things you're going to be addicted to, you can be addicted to porn. You can be addicted to food. You can be addicted. I mean, my own addictions, they would make a list. Like,
Well, it's our sinful nature. So that's what Jesus said in John 8, right? Whoever sins is a slave to sin. Mm. But if the Son sets you're free indeed. So, yeah.
So, and I guess what I'm asking, Chuck, is if somebody's listening right now and they say, you know what, Chuck, and all this is good and great, but I'm addicted to pornography, I'm addicted to men, I'm addicted to women, I'm addicted to gambling, or whatever it is. And they're listening and say, I've got this habit, I've got something that I've got going on, and I want to quit, but I just feel like I can't quit.
Ice cream.
Biting your nails, fill in the blank, yeah.
That's me, ice cream. So, but if they're saying that, what would you say to them to encourage them right now?
Right. So what I found was people with addictions, they quit trying to quit. That's the one thing they quit. They quit trying to quit because they keep falling down and like get frustrated. Like, you know what? God just understands. This is my deal. Some will even lie to themselves. Well, this is how he made me. Well, you know, if I lie a lot, did God make me a liar?
Right.
Or if I like to steal, did God make me a thief?
Right.
Or now that I'm married and I still want to sleep with every pretty girl that I see, did God make me an adulterer?
Right.
No, we just have a sinful nature to ourselves. And so what I would say is the answer comes from Jesus. Jesus is the answer. He says, seek and you'll find, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open to you. So some people just pray and say, God, fix me, and they stop right there. But just like you have to go to the hospital or see a doctor, and then he gives you a prescription, you got to go to the pharmacy, you got to fill it, and you got to take it as prescribed.
Okay.
So whatever God is going to, how God is going to fix you, it changes with everybody. And again, I'm a preacher here, and I can preach at a spark of a dime, but to keep it conversational, you know, they'll ask, and God will answer, but they got to seek. Where do I need to go? I need to get up from here and go somewhere. And you need to surround yourself with people who have the same desires you do, people who want to quit. That's why AA and NA, these 12-step groups, they work. Because in community, so I've heard Rick Warren, Celebrate Recovery, Christ-centered 12-step groups. He says, if you want to be forgiven, all you got to do is ask God, and you'll be forgiven. 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just. He says, but if you want to be healed, you got to confess for one another. James says, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you might be healed. So my word to somebody who's trying to quit is you need to get in a community with people who are trying to quit, and you'll get victory. Not overnight, but over time. It's progress.
Well, you know, it's interesting when you were saying that, one of the things that came to my mind was that it says in Scripture, it says, do not be fooled that bad company corrupts good character.
Right. People, places, and things. That's what they say. You got to change people, places, and things.
The other name of the show is like, If Not For God.
If Not For God, yeah.
Yeah, right. So God leads, okay? Uh-huh. So God doesn't push. You know, he leads, and it's our job to follow. So the question is, where is he leading me? Who is he leading me to? The first place he wants to lead you to is a good Christ-centered, Bible-believing church. Because when he said in verse 20, he sent his word and healed them, his word will renew your mind. The way you think about things is the way you act and the way that you believe. Everything is, that's the foundation. Your belief system is really your doctrine, why you do what you do. So when you, is it Romans 12? Renew your mind.
That's right.
You know, so the renewing of your mind, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So when you read the word and you hear good preachers expound upon the word, it helps you understand it.
Well, and the other thing that you were saying before, when you were saying, does God make me an adulterer? You know, I want to sleep with pretty women, or I enjoy drinking alcohol to excess or whatever, and, you know, does God make me a drunk? Well, it actually says in James chapter 1, verse 13, it says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But it says each person is tempted when they are drawn away by their own lusts. So that it's like even when somebody says, well, I'm doing this, but I don't really want to do it. What I get from that verse is, well, yeah, you really want to do it or else you wouldn't keep doing it, right?
Yeah. A temptation has to have a desire to do what's wrong, or it's not a temptation.
There's bondage inside of that. It's not like, right. Well, it's just, you know, this happened. You know, somebody is abused as a child.
Sure.
Sexually.
Sure. Okay.
And then they begin to make agreements with, dirty laundry and this kind of thing. And there's all sorts of forgiveness that comes into the middle of all that. And so when Chuck was talking about being in community with seeing other people's brokenness and getting inside, because, you know, it's pretty easy for us to judge people and say, well, if they would just decide not to, well, that's, you know, there's a lot of stuff inside that brokenness that has to do with generational curses. It has to do with things that happened to them that they were young that were not of that. Satan's been after your glory, Mike, since before you were born. And as soon as he saw you on the scene, he knew in a lot of different ways how to come after you. And so it's fascinating to me that as I was in community, if I talk about my own struggles with pornography, mm-hmm. it was through that community I saw, wow, there's a way for me to talk to Jesus about this very thing and go down inside of the woundedness and the brokenness where he can show me the agreements that I made.
Okay.
And the things that I have allowed myself to believe that take away the lie, right, Chuck? Because there were lies that led to all those things that that we buy into. And with those lies, we're in bondage. When we take off the lies, then all of a sudden there's freedom. But the beauty of hanging around with broken people that are honest about how they got broken.
Sure.
You'll begin to see those lies.
We've all been hurt, and there are things that make us feel better. And that's really what we're doing. We're self-medicating, looking at things that make us feel better, doing things. We're medicating. So in that psalm, it talked about they were in the shadow of darkness. Well, Jesus is the light of the world. And when you shine the light on it in community and you bring it out, see, the devil wants you to isolate and think you're the only one going through this and nobody's going to understand and you know, this is just the way you are. But yeah, this is the way you are, but God is working on us. He's working on all of us. So maybe every listener while you're driving or whatever, say, hey, God is still working on me. Say that out loud. God is still working on me.
God is still working on me.
That's right. We're the pot. He's the potter. We're the clay. We're on the spinning wheel, and he's molding and shaping us every day to be more and more like him. So he sees the finished work, and we're frustrated because we're not finished. We're not perfected yet. We'll be perfected when we step into glory. We get that new spiritual body. In heaven, there's no more sin. And here, you know, we have that daily battle. And if you are struggling, that's actually a good sign that the Holy Spirit's in you and you're wrestling with it. People who are sinning like crazy and have no conscience about it, that's a bad sign.
That's a very bad sign.
I actually heard a really cool story just this last week about that. This man was out hunting with this rich man who was not a Christian, and he missed a shot, and he fell down on the ground, started just praying, God, please forgive me. I'm a broken man. I'm trying to do right, and da-da-da-da-da. And the rich man says, you know, you struggle so much, you Christians. You know what? I don't believe in God, and I don't have to deal with all that struggle. And he said, how can you explain all this struggle of you being a Christian? About that time, you know, two more ducks fly over, and they both shoot, and one of those ducks dies and goes to the ground immediately, just flops over dead. And the other one goes to the ground, his broken wing, and it's hopping along the ground. And he goes, oh, I think I see the picture. He said, you see those two ducks? Yeah. The one that's struggling is still alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good point.
That's good.
Hey, yeah. Pinch yourself. Hey, I'm still alive. This is good. You know. And what I love most about God is that he meets you right where you're at.
Yeah.
Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved.
Yes.
And so many people use that as a salvation. That's my ticket to heaven. No, it saves you from right now, saves you for the next step, saves you from stupid.
Absolutely. Do you, we don't usually do this, but just something told me right now, Chuck, if there's somebody out there, and there is, who's struggling with a some sort of an addiction, we just ask Chuck if you want to just say a prayer for them real quick.
Yeah, and I would also say go to CelebrateRecovery.com, put in your zip code, and it'll show you all the Celebrate Recovery groups around you. The one difference of the 12-step Celebrate Recovery group is that Jesus Christ is the highest power.
Yes.
Satan is a higher power. Every angel is a higher power. But Jesus is the highest power. Not to preach, but Matthew 28:18, after Jesus rose from the dead, verse 18, he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. That's a huge statement. Of course, you just rose from the dead after 3 days, right?
Right.
All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So he is the highest power. So let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus,
yes,
the power of the blood, Revelation 12:11, they overcame the evil one by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Everyone listening right now has a story, and you know all the details. Lord, in Psalms 139, he says, you know when we lie down, you know when we rise up, you know what our thoughts are afar off. You know what we're going to say before we say them. You are all-knowing. And God, we just ask you to meet us right where we're at and lead us today. Lead us to the right people. You're the God who shuts doors that no man can open. And God, we also know that you open doors that no man can shut.
Yes.
And you've opened a door for us today to move forward. So by the power of your Spirit, you said that the Holy Spirit, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, lives inside of us. And God, if you can raise Jesus from the dead, you can help us overcome addictions and strongholds, hurts, habits, hang-ups. Lord, you're the healer. Holy Spirit, you're the counselor. You are the comforter. So any listener who's listening right now, we ask for that peace that surpasses all understanding to come upon them, knowing that you're sovereign, you're in control, you still have a plan and a purpose for our lives, and we want that today. So we're calling upon your name for salvation.
Yes.
We're calling upon the name of Jesus for deliverance. Lead us, Lord. Get us into the right community with people where we can encourage one another and pray for one another that we may be healed. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. That was awesome. I feel like there are strongholds right now that out there that are being broken right now in the name of Jesus. Chuck, so if not for God, you've got some if not for God stories as well. You had a helicopter story.
Wow. Yeah. You know, I think God loves, there's no such thing as a coincidence. As a matter of fact, in 39 books of the Old Testament written in the Hebrew language, there's not a word in Hebrew for coincidence or circumstance or happenstance, because there are none. Everything happens for a reason. You look at somebody and say, do you believe everything happens for a reason? They'll say, yeah. Nobody will argue with you. You may not know why right away, mm-hmm. but everything happens for a reason. And some of those coincidences, the church sometimes calls them God-oinces.
Yeah.
I like that, God-oinces. So they're divine appointments, crossroads, right? So, and there's also a lot of sowing and reaping going on. If I make bad decisions, there's going to be a bad output. So God doesn't get the blame for that. Man gets the blame for our stupid decisions sometimes.
Right.
So there's both going on. I think there's a lot of sowing and reaping based on our decisions, and there's God interceding and getting in the middle of a situation, a divine appointment. So, yeah, man, at the end of the day, you know, sometimes some of the things you see or that you hear while you're thinking about it, it's like, wow, that's an amazing coincidence. Yeah, I mean, you brought up the helicopter story, and I don't know if you have this much time for that kind of a story.
Yeah.
But I've got 3,100 songs on my playlist in my iPhone, and I'm pulling out of New York, and I'm driving south. I'm starting to drive through Washington, D.C., and in my playlist is Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Okay.
So as I'm driving through Washington, D.C., I look over my right-hand car window, and there's the US-1 Marine helicopter coming in, about ready to fly over my car. And I think, wow, President could be on that helicopter, and he's about ready to fly right over the roof of my car. I've had planes go by when you go past an airport, a plane goes right over your car. That's pretty cool. But a helicopter, here's a helicopter, it's a US-1 Marine 1 or whatever, with the President maybe on it. And as the helicopter's going over my car, Stephen Covey's saying, hey, listen, you need to schedule your planner by the week. days in a week. You have a weekly planner, If you plan by the week, it gives you the helicopter view. Right as the helicopter's flying over my car, and I go, man, what is the chances of that? I got 3,100 songs in my phone. There's nothing else. Talks about, sounds like a helicopter, and he says helicopter, and God gives me an illustration with a helicopter over my head. And right away, I said, this must be an important message for me. Yeah. Look at my planner and plan, and that's why everybody's weekly planner. You got a weekly planner. I mean, that's an important truth. A day by day, we attack our week, and he says if you plan by the year, it's like the skyscraper view. They didn't have any skyscrapers in Washington, D.C. for the visual. But I just thought that was just an amazing coincidence. I shared that with you, and I go, man, what's the odds of that happening, you know, that God gives you a helicopter? And with all the traffic and stopping and going, he just timed it out right. I mean, there's a lot going on in the universe for God to be messing with my little playlist and time things out for me to hear something and see something at the same time so I remember it.
But he still has time for you.
Yeah. It's like he's one-on-one with you. He's one-on-one with everybody. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're at, and he's leading you. Times 7 billion people. This is mind-boggling stuff here.
I gotcha. And Robbie?
Yeah. Well, clearly, if not for God, as we've discussed this morning, that when we take a look at that helicopter view of our life, that there are some things that we know that we're addicted to and comfort, especially in these signs that maybe that God's pointed out to us as we've been seeking comfort. And here's the hope, man, that we've been praying about, that we can all take a good hard look at where Jesus would take us and begin to cry out for his word, cry out for those things that you talked about, Pastor.
That's right. And if you want to check him out, Chuck, give him your website.
So the name of the show is Answering the Call, atctv.org, Answering the Call. So the question is, are you answering the call? God's calling you. Don't let it go to voicemail. So yes, Lord, here I am. Send me.
Not for God. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to If Not for God with Mike Zwick. For more shows, subscribe on iTunes to If Not for God. For more information on Mike or to contact him, go to ifnotforgod.life.